Good morning to you, and welcome to our Sunday morning assembly here at Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee, on this seventh day of June, 2020. We are glad to have you with us this morning. We know that quite a number of our congregation are at home streaming their services. We're glad to have you join us. And we also have others that we know who are watching our services by live streaming here in the Johnson City area. Also, those who may be at distant points from Johnson City, we're glad to have you. And a special welcome to the people here in our auditorium. This is our first in-person service since we suspended services on March 15th. And we're glad that a number of us are getting back together this morning by assembling in the auditorium here at our building. And that's a very exciting thing. We look forward to the time when all of us can be back together here and worship at the building. But we thank God for this opportunity this morning. Now we're going to enter into the worship of our great God. Join us, please.
Good morning. Let's all stand and sing, "We Praise Thee, O God." We will sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Land of Glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Land of Glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit.
Next hymn is Holy, Holy.
Right.
we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing the steadfast love of the Lord.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him.
Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we bow humbly before your throne. We are so grateful to be gathered together. Father, we're grateful to be again here in this building with people that we love, with members of your body. But we know that we're gathered together in living rooms and dining rooms all across right now because of this virus. And Father, we are just so grateful to be part of your family and be part of your church. We're so grateful for the bond that we have, that even when we're not physically here together, even when we can't hug and shake hands and all the things that we enjoy doing, that we understand that we have a bond that's so much greater than those things. And that bond is through your Son that you gave for us, that you gave for us on the cross. Father, our country is hurting right now in so many ways. We're hurting from a virus. We're hurting from division. We're hurting from people who are scared. And just awful things that have happened. And we need healing. We need healing that can only come from Jesus. We need you. We need you all the time. And we need you especially now, Father, to help show us, because so much of what is going on in our world, we don't understand. And we look at it and we see things happening and we don't know how to comfort. We don't know how to listen. We don't know what the right things to do are. All we know is that the world needs you. And Father, we beg that you show us the right things to say, the right things to do. Help us to be lights. Help us to not spread division further. Help us to be the ones that people see as the hands and the eyes and the ears of Jesus. That when people are hurting, they know that they can seek out the church, that they can seek out Christians, and they'll find love, and they're going to find compassion. Help us. Help us. Our country and our city and our state, we need this so much, Father. Help to heal the divisions that man has created, that sin has created, that Satan has created. Help us to be the leaders in the healing. Father, we ask that you heal us. Heal our country. There are so many too that can't be here with us because they're sick. And Father, we are mindful so many in our congregation that are sick or can't be here in this room with us because of compromised immune systems. And we are yearning and begging for the day very soon that we can just all be together like we're used to. But Father, we are yearning even more. And that yearning for being together just makes us realize how much even more we are yearning for the day that we will all be together completely unhindered, where there is no tears, where there is no crying, where there is no disease, where there's no divisions, divides. Father, we are looking forward to that day that you will bring us all home. And we ask you to hasten the day. Father, we are looking forward to that day where these things that are here on earth don't exist. We are so, so thankful to be together, to worship you. And we put aside this time this morning to lift up your name for all that you've given us and all that you've promised us and the hope that we have for tomorrow. And so we ask that all the things that we do this morning be pleasing in your sight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before our scripture reading and Tim brings us the lesson, we will sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrims through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. The bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery valley pillar lead me on my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the fertile Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on haven's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to Thee. Songs of praises I will ever give to
Thee. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 78, verses 35 through 38. Psalm 78, 35 through 38. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer, but they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. And yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity, and he did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath.
Good morning. Love conquers all. The love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. It came down from heaven and gave the atonement for our sins. And it continues to break through barriers. I feel the love as I see people here with us this morning that I've not seen in almost 3 months, even though you're behind a mask. It is so good to see you with us. And those of you that are not with us, you're still at home, we understand. We think it is wise for certain people to not take the risk of getting out. And we urge you to keep on doing that if you are in that category of at risk. Just keep on being safe. But even there, the power of love transcends space and time, and we're still a church. And that day is coming, maybe on this earth, but the day is coming when we will be together again as one, and it will be such a joyful day. But this is a beginning, and we're so thankful to see you there. It's just really good to hear some female voices as we sing. Guys, those of you that have been here these past few weeks, it's been great, but you just don't have quite the quality that these ladies bring to our singing. But we are thankful that we are at this point. We're not out of the woods yet. Still lots of reasons to be cautious, and that's why we have to do the things that we're doing. But let's keep praying. Let's keep putting ourselves into the hands of God, and He'll get us through this. Let me say a couple of things first about the end of the lesson this morning. Our primary concern, of course, is to help you with whatever your needs may be. Though whether you're here with us in the building this morning or whether you're still at home, if you have a spiritual need, we want to help you with that. And if you're at home and you need prayers, we ask you to email us, either myself or Greg Ryan or Tim Haywood, and probably you're going to see the email addresses for each of us on your screen. And I will check the email, they will as well. And if you send in a request, we'll get that in the prayer before we leave the building. And if you are in need of obeying the gospel to become a Christian, we want to help you with that. And absolutely, we're going to help you with that. We're not going to make you wait till things are better. There is no better time than the present if you need to obey the gospel. So just know. And if we do have someone that responds, comes forward to ask for prayers, we're going to ask them to fill out a sheet that is on the front pew, and we're going to ask others not to come forward and sit close to them like we normally do, but we're going to be still supporting each other in very different ways, but just to kind of give you a heads up of what's going on. But it's so good to see you. Really happy that Jean Arrowood is back with us. Jean Arrowood has been in our prayers for a long time now, not that long, but several weeks, and to see him walking in the building and doing as well as he's doing, and he is doing well. We just rejoice over that. We're so thankful, and thank you, Margaret and Gary, for bringing him back, and we just thank God for answered prayers. Now, let's get our Bibles out and get into our study of the Word of God. Afterward, we'll be having the Lord's Supper. Again, we're not forgetting that. It's just we're moving it later in the service. Set that aside, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. I understand that this fall, Fox TV will begin the fourth season of The Masked Singer. It is a show I have never watched. I've never had much desire to watch it, but apparently it's done very well. In fact, it began in 2015 in South Korea. That's where the concept first took shape. And then I also understand that this fall there will be a new show called The Masked Dancer. So obviously there's something intriguing, something entertaining about wearing a mask that makes people want to turn on their TVs and watch. But not everybody likes wearing masks, do we? And if ever there's a time for you to say amen, that was it. Not all of us like wearing masks. They're uncomfortable. They're confining. But I'm thinking now of a mask of a different sort. I'm thinking of the kind of mask that we can hide behind generally, regularly, a psychological mask, you might say, because we're anxious to keep people from knowing who we really are or what's down deep inside of us. For example, this past week, lots of unrest in our nation. And for most of us, it's impossible for us to really understand how some may feel about the issues that are being protested. And I found this story that talks about the mask that some people are having to wear. This came from the Wall Street Journal last week, and it talks about some of our black community who have risen to higher ranks in the business world, and how are they dealing with the idea of protest, and how do you talk about these issues? For example, one woman, Tina Eskridge, who is director of marketing at Microsoft, said, "I think all of us do know that we have to put a mask on. We don't always feel comfortable saying anything. And that's an idea about wearing a mask. I have these feelings inside, and yet I don't feel comfortable talking about those feelings. I feel like I've got to cover them over and just not say anything." And she says, "I struggle with that." Another lady quoted in this article, Alicia Washington, who will join Duke University's computer science faculty this fall, said we have to basically act like we're okay, and we absolutely are not. And there again, I think it helps us to understand there's a lot of things going on right now that some of us can't understand because we're not in their shoes, but that's always the case with all people of all circumstances, isn't it? There are things in everybody's lives that we kind of want to hide. We don't feel comfortable saying, "This is how I feel. This is what I think. This is what I value." And so to keep that concealed, we wear a mask. Not a cloth mask or a surgical mask. We wear a psychological mask. And we try to hide what is really down deep inside of us. Now, the English Standard Version of the Bible does not have the word mask in it. But I find some interesting ideas about this idea in the Word of God. And so that's what I want us to think about this morning. Because again, we're all wearing masks. Now, literally we are this morning, and I'm happy that you have complied with that. But I'm talking about what we do on a daily basis and did long before we ever heard of the coronavirus. So first of all, let's talk about the idea that beneath my mask is the person that I truly am. Beneath my mask is the person that I truly am. Now, wearing a mask, again, it is a common phenomenon. I think back to songs that I heard when I was growing up. For example, in 1965, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles released a song entitled "The Tracks of My Tears." And some of the words talk about this very thought of masking our feelings. "Take a good look at my face. You'll see my smile looks out of place. If you look closer, it's easy to trace the tracks of my tears." And in that case, a smile was a mask. I don't want you to see how I'm hurting inside, and so I'm going to put on a happy face. But that's not who I really am down deep. In 1971, the Temptations also had a song, "Smiling Faces Sometimes." And the words of that, again, talk about how we can conceal what we really feel inside. "Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within." And we know that. It is a common observation that what you see is not always what you get. And even though I look like everything is fine in my life, and even though that's what I say, yet sometimes it isn't. I'm wearing a mask. The Bible talks about how this can happen. Look again at that passage that Greg read for us earlier, Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and look at verses 35 through 37, and listen again to what he says there about how the people try to act toward God. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 35. they, talking about the people of Israel, it's kind of a historical overview of the people of Israel in this psalm. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer, but they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. And would you not call that somewhat of a mask? I mean, I'm telling you one thing, but the way I really feel is something else entirely. Flattery, that's what it is. I'm telling you what you want to hear, not what I really think. So they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. And that's how people can be often. You know, again, we kind of know. You know, I think I know what you want to hear me say. When you say, how you doing, Tim? You don't want to hear me say, well, here's what went wrong this week and here's what's going on right now. You don't want to hear that, so I'll just say, I'm fine. I'm masking how I really feel. And sometimes that's just social norms, but sometimes it's deceptive. And it certainly was in their case. They thought they could fool God. And then John 13. We talked about Judas not long ago in one of our lessons. Judas, one of the 12, one of the apostles, was with Jesus for 3 years about. And the other 11 apostles, they traveled together. They were in close quarters together. And yet listen to this. In John 13, 21 and 22, this is at the Passover meal where Jesus knows his time has come. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. Now, why didn't they just look at Judas and say, well, he's the one that's always looked kind of upset and angry and mad? Because I don't think that's how Judas acted. They didn't know who that betrayer might be because Judas did such a good job of masking what he really felt inside. Now, there was a time I really believe that Judas was on board with Jesus and believed him and loved him. But that changed. But what did not change, apparently, was the outside appearance. Because they had no clue. It was Judas that Jesus was talking about. And if people do that with God and with Jesus, don't you think they do it with others? Proverbs 23 says just that. Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7. Here he says, do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. You know anybody that is stingy? We all know those kind of people. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Now, if you're looking at the King James or the New King James, it will say something like this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's really the idea here as well. You can think something inside of you and yet portray something entirely different. And we do that. We do it a lot. We wear that mask, and yet behind that mask is who I truly am. Not what I'm projecting. This is who I really am. One other passage on this point, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35. Matthew 18 and verse 35, Jesus had just told the parable of the unmerciful servant, the man that had been forgiven of a huge debt by his master, and then he would not forgive his fellow servant of a small debt, and as a result, he forfeited his mercy. Well, listen to the application. This is what Jesus says as far as the lesson we should learn. Matthew 18, 35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Why did he add that last part? From your heart? Because again, that's the tendency of humans. I've done it. You've done it. We'll say, you know, don't worry about it. It's okay. I don't mind that you backed into my car. I don't mind that you said something ugly about me that I heard about. That's okay. Is it? Are we telling the truth? Have we forgiven from the heart? Because we can put on a mask and fool the person we're talking to, but it doesn't change who we really are. So the point again is, we do wear masks, but that doesn't change who we truly are down deep inside. In an article I found on the Huffington Post, certainly not a religious magazine, but Tina Williamson in July of 2015 talked about the five masks that we wear and why we should take them off. And she said this about the tendency that we have. She said, how do you feel about the face you're portraying for the world to see? Are you truly yourself? Do you feel that you can be you no matter what social situation you're in? And I think all of us have been in those situations where we think, well, I can't really let them see what I think. I don't know what they might think about me. I don't know what they might say. I've got to just kind of lay low and act like something else. We're wearing a mask. Let's move to the second point, and this is the more important one. And that is that beneath my mask is the real me that God sees. Beneath this mask that I wear is the real me that God sees. Now, most of us are familiar with that river that runs through Egypt. What's the name of it? Denial, right? That's the Denial River. Well, we know about denial because we do it a lot. We know something to be true, and yet we don't want it to be true, and therefore, you know, we cover it up, we try to wear the mask and all of that. But God knows who we really are. We ought to know that. The Bible is very clear, right? I mean, go all the way back to Genesis 3. We won't read this right now, but you remember how Adam and Eve were in that perfect environment. There they were in the Garden of Eden and had one commandment to obey, the only one that we know about. Don't eat of this particular tree. And yet, guess what they did? They ate of that particular tree. And immediately, we're told in verse 7, they realized they were naked, they were unclothed, and so they made themselves garments out of fig leaves to try to hide behind. And yet in verse 11, God comes along and says, who told you that you were unclothed? Did you do what I told you not to do? And the point there is, you can't hide from God. You can try to sew together a garment of fig leaves. That's not going to cover you up. God knows. He knows where you're at, what your condition is. There's no point in trying to hide. I want you to look with me at Ezekiel chapter 8. Go ahead and turn to that. This is not a passage we look at very often, but it's just amazing how people thought they could pull one over on God. The time is after the first wave of exiles has been taken away to Babylon. There are still Jews in Jerusalem. The temple is still standing, but the time is coming very shortly when it will be destroyed. But in Ezekiel chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, here God is showing the prophet Ezekiel, look at what I see. He brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, son of man, dig in the wall. So I dug in the wall, and behold, there was an entrance. And he said to me, go in and see the vile abominations that they are committing here. So I went in and saw, and there, engraved on the wall all around, was every form of creeping things and loathsome beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel. And before them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, with Jezaniah the son of Shaphan standing among them. Each had his censer in his hand, and the smoke of the cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his room of pictures? For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. That's amazing. They were underneath the temple, it appears. They had dug out a place underneath their little man cave, their idolatry cave. And there they had set up all kinds of forbidden objects. They were worshiping idols, and they were saying, well, God doesn't see us. And yet, who was conducting this tour that we just read? It was the Lord. The Lord sees, absolutely. And there is no concealing who we really are, even when we wear our masks. Luke chapter 16. Jesus talks about this. He is talking here to the Pharisees. Luke 16, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. The Pharisees have just mocked Jesus for a parable that he told. They said, "You're crazy. That's just crazy talk." And here's what Jesus says in response to them. Luke 16, beginning in verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." And again, that sounds pretty close to home, doesn't it? I mean, we're living a long time since Jesus said those words, and we're living a long ways distantly from that place. But that sounds just like what I do at times. I try to justify myself before other people. And yet God knows my heart. Why? Why do I even try to put on that mask when God sees my heart? Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, we know these words much better. Here we're learning about the power of the Word of God. And he says in Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 12, we just talked about how the first generation of Israel to come out of Egypt, they did not make the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief and disobedience. He says now, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And don't you see again what that says very clearly? You're not going to hide from God. You're not going to pull one over on God. Yeah, you can fool people. I could name individuals that I've known in the past, and I regarded them highly. I said, these are servants of God to the highest level. And then something comes out, and I say, what? Really? Is that who they are? You're not going to hide from God. You can hide from people, but not from God. We're afraid to show ourselves to people because of what they might think or what they might say. Some of them would say, well, I'm never going to be your friend again, and that could happen. What about with God? What if we take off our mask to God and begin right there and say, Lord, I'm not going to pretend. Here's who I am. I'm going to confess the person I really am. How's God going to respond to that? Well, we don't have to wonder. Romans 5, verse 8 is one place of several that tells us how God would respond to that. God shows his love for us. Some translations say demonstrates or proves his love for us. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knows who you are. He knows who I am. But he loves us anyway. It's hard for us to love one another when we find out the truth. But for God, he already knows. And he's already shown he loves us. With a love that's unlike any human manifestation. He gave his son to die for us. And so why don't we take off our mask to God? And that may be the beginning of our taking off our masks with others. I'm not talking about your mask today. You keep those on. But come clean with God. Say, Lord, you know me already. Help me to bring my life to the point where you want me to be. Because taking off your mask is the necessary first step. There's a song that was first published in 1849 that we love. We sing it often. Just As I Am. And doesn't that say what we're trying to say here from the Word of God? We're coming to God and saying, Lord, you know already. I'm reluctant to open up. I'm ashamed of what I am. But I'm coming just as I am. And let me just read the words of one of those lines. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. You will receive. You will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. And that's the challenge for each of us this morning, is to remove our mask before God. Because we're not fooling Him. We're fooling ourselves. We're not fooling Him. And say, Lord, help me. And His promise is, I will. I'll be happy to help. For those that are not yet Christians, I'll be glad to forgive all of your sins if you obey the gospel plan. And that is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. To believe it so firmly that you're willing to turn away from sin, repenting of it. You'll confess Him before others. You'll be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, because that's what Jesus commanded. That's what the Word of God says over and over again. And so we would urge you, if that's what your need is, let's do that today. I'll put on gloves, I'll wear my mask, but I'll put you down in the water if that's your desire. I'm not hesitant on that. And if you have done that and yet you have wandered away in sin, I urge you, take off the mask before God. Confess your sins. Pray for forgiveness. And come home. And you're going to find God is glad to receive you. He'll welcome you with love. If you need to respond, we hope you will as we stand and sing.
Why did Jesus wait?
I did have a prayer request earlier before we started worship. One of our members has asked that we offer a prayer for the virus in our area. If you keep track of the numbers, you may have seen that there are new cases, more, this person says, than we've seen in the last little bit. It's not, you know, in the numbers that we see in Nashville or Memphis, of course, but we're not that size of a city either. And so the prayer request is, pray that people will do what is right, that we will not let down our guards, and we'll continue helping each other avoid this. So let's go to God with that request. Our God and our Father in heaven, we do praise you, Lord, for your greatness. We know, Lord, that you are in control. Even when we think things are out of hand and things are not like they should be, yet, Lord, you know the good that can come through times of trial. And Father, we trust you. We know that your hand is on the throttle. You will bring things to a better place when you know it is right. But Father, we do want to pray on behalf of our community, but also for our state, our nation, our world. Father, this is still a virus that is very deadly, and there are still people that are very susceptible to it, Lord. And we pray, Father, watch over us. Please keep us. Keep us safe and healthy. Bless those in our medical community who are working hard to help those already afflicted and to develop the vaccines that might keep it from afflicting us. Father, watch over them because they are putting themselves at risk for all of us. And Father, we pray for the greater pandemic, the pandemic of sin. We tend to take it for granted, Father. We don't treat it with the seriousness that we should. Open our eyes, Father. Help us to see the damage we're doing to ourselves anytime we allow sin into our lives. Father, bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, welcome to visitors that we have with us this morning. I failed to mention that earlier. We're glad you have come to be with us, and come anytime you are able.
As we consider the sacrifice of Jesus and what was accomplished for us, we will sing In Memory of the Savior's Love.
In memory of the Savior's love, we keep the sacred feast, where every humble contrite heart is
You may want to go ahead and remove part of your mask for this. And if you have your communion set, it's a good time to go ahead and peel back the first layer, the top, the very clear layer, and have that ready. In the book of Luke, it's recorded where the Lord's Supper is instituted. And the book of Luke is very factual. It's very much a report, very much a historical record of the things as reported that Christ experienced. And it's leading up to Passover. And the Passover is celebrated. And I think of times when our family is together or when we haven't seen each other in a long time, and there's always a meal. And we look forward to the time together, and we look forward to the meal. And Christ had to be looking forward in some way with this meal. And of course, we know that the disciples didn't know the significance of this meal. But Christ did. and we celebrate it on a weekly basis. It's the foundation of all things in God's plan. It's the foundation that we believe that Christ came and died for us, and that sin was forgiven so that we could live forever with Christ. And this meal is being instituted. It says in Luke 22 that he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body which is given for you. And do this in remembrance of me." So let's do this in prayer. Father, we praise you. We love you and we honor you and we glorify you, Father. And as we celebrate this meal, we know what it meant. We know that you are to be crucified, that you are to be killed, and that was God's plan. Father, we know it was painful. We know it was excruciating. And Father, we know it was anguish. And through that, you gave yourself for us. You gave your body for those disciples. You gave your body for all who believe and call on you. Father, you gave for us. And as we take this bread of your body, we do this, remembering, loving, and thanking you. In Christ's name, amen. Please go ahead and peel back the second layer of your cup. And likewise, in Luke it continues, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Father, again, we are before you. And Father, as we take this cup that represents your blood, Father, we are marveled of how this plan of God's came together, because he loved us so much that you came, that you lived, that you taught, and that you died for us. And Father, let us take this cup in remembrance of Christ and all that was given for us. And we do this knowing that it is different than any other meal. Father, we do this on a weekly basis to remember, to honor, and to recenter. In Christ, amen. This week, we return to live service. And throughout this time that the congregation has been worshiping remotely and virtually, we've still been giving. And today we have baskets available for those that are here in attendance to drop their contribution as they depart. But we want to thank the church. We want to thank the church for continuing to give during this time. The work continues, the work expands, and it's all for Christ. So we'll have the prayer now for the contribution. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you because you've given us so much and you ask us very little. Father, as we give today, we know that we're giving locally, that we're giving to things that we can see. Father, we also know that we're giving to those that we can't see. We're giving for the work. We're giving to the workers. We're giving to the work in places that are beyond this church and beyond this community. We are giving to the work throughout the world. Father, we're giving in your name because you commanded us to, because you've asked us to, and because we want to. And Father, as we give today, whether we've mailed it in, dropped it off at the church, or drop it in the baskets today, Father, we pray that it is used to glorify you, that it is given with a pure heart, that it is given willingly and joyfully. And we ask your blessings over this giving in Christ's name. Amen.
Our closing hymn is "This World Is Not My Home." And then we will pray and hear any announcements that there are.
This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckons me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I never go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckons me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise thrills back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckons me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we've been able to gather together this morning to to express our devotion to you as a group of believers, the body of Christ at this place. We ask you to be with us day by day, Lord, as we walk through this life and to do so in a manner that is worthy of our calling to always honor you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.